Today's scriptural reading will be found in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. That's the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. During the journey as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." May God bless the reading of his word.
What an amazing book that is. It's at the beginning of the Christian ministry, as right after Jesus died on the cross. It's how the ministry was going on. And you read about things that you're just flat out amazing. You guys remember the story of Peter and John going into the temple, and they were teaching, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they took them, and they beat them, and they told them, "Don't you ever come back here." And they went back and they taught again. Okay, but let's add to that story just a little bit. If you had read just a chapter before that, or just maybe part of a chapter before that, it said that Herod had killed James. So not only were they not welcome in this temple, teaching the truth, teaching the gospel, but church leaders were being killed by the leading authorities of that day. And these guys had the guts to go forward and to preach the gospel anyway in the temple. I look at our church today and I think, not saying anything about anybody here. I just think, where is that? People ask, why are we not performing miracles? Why are we not healing people? Why are not the dead being raised? And are we like the early church? I don't know. I don't know. I think we're soft. Honestly, I think we're soft. I'm soft. I know that for sure. So this is where we're coming from today, the book of Acts here. It's actually the Apostle Paul's story. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please change my words into something useful. May you direct and guide us and help us to see our place in this story. Help us to see where you would want us to go and to do your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Acts chapter 9. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter..." So let's back up here. So the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. I don't know if you knew this, but the Saul means the chosen one. So here is this young man named the chosen one, who was a member of the Pharisees, and he hated these Christian guys. They were just terrible. They were a scourge. He was a purist, I guess you'd call it. He liked the scriptures. He liked the way the temple services were done. He grew up in this, and that's what he loved. He loved this traditional church that he belonged to. It was great. And then, lo and behold, this guy named Jesus comes along and starts making things difficult in the temple. And he saw himself as one of the men who are cleaning up the mess. But there was this hatred in his heart. He thought, you know what, why don't we just kill these people? Let's just get rid of them. Let's just put them in jail and make them go away. Have you thought that about your enemies? I don't run in that vein. I don't want to hurt my enemies. I don't. I just, it's not in my DNA. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest," he said, "and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," this is what there wasn't called Christianity back then, it was called the way, that they didn't have a name. So they called it, "and if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, they might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Let them stand trial, let them be..." Do whatever they're going to do, scourge them and beat them and tell them, "No, we're not going to do this anymore," all the way to Damascus. "And he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks, kick against the goads? When you talk about this pricks or the goads, it was an old-time cattle prod. It was a sharp stick. What they have now is an electric one that they poke you, the cows with, and move them along. This would be a shepherding stick that's a sharp stick they would poke you along with. So apparently God had been working upon him and was poking him with this sharp stick, and he was like, get away from me. How often is God trying to lead us to do something and we're just like, no, I'm not going to do that. I think in a lot of ways, it says we're supposed to thank God in all things. And I thank God for the pain. I thank God for some of the suffering that we go through, because a lot of it is my own doing. It's me not listening, not wanting to do the right thing. And in my selfishness, it brings the problems to light. And pain, mark this down now, pain is God's way of telling you there's something wrong. Whether it's a bad joint in your shoulder or a relationship, something. Pain is God's way of telling you that there's something wrong. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said that I am Jesus. So apparently, Jesus came to Paul directly, specifically, and shone right about him with a bright light. And it says, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I live in the land of why. Okay, whenever I see something that happens, I always want to know what events happened that led up to this point. If something seems out of place, mark my words, there's a story there. There's always a story behind something out of the usual, something that's unusual, that you not normally see. And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Simple words. From a man who hated Christians, this man Jesus, whom he was said was a liar, he said he was troubling the church, all of a sudden here he is kneeling in the ground asking this person, Jesus, what will you have me to do? Must have been just terrifying. It had to be. It had to be just terrifying to see this and to be a part of this, to know that, I'm in trouble. And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what to do. He says, Jesus didn't give him a whole book of directions to do right now. He says, just do this. Get up, go to the city, and I'll provide the necessary things that you need. And men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. What is happening? What's going on here? There's this light, but I hear a voice, and Paul's acting all goofy. What's going on here? This Our God is amazing. He has a ways of reaching out to this is the only way that Paul would listen. God, seeing potential in this young man, reached out in the only way that Paul would listen. I used to pray that I wouldn't have to go through hard times and suffering in order to learn lessons. No, seriously. I'm like, okay, Lord, just help me to listen. Help me just to listen, and I'll just do it, and that'll be okay. I don't need to go through these really difficult times, right? I don't know. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Everybody here knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that something supernatural was happening, that God was speaking, and they had better just back up, shut up, and listen. And the men which journeyed with him, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and he brought him into Damascus. So now here he is. He had been visited by God himself. God came down from heaven to the earth in a bright light, spoke to him, told him, why are you persecuting me? And says, go to the city and wait for me. He said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. But he went there blind as a bat. He couldn't see a thing. God stepped in, grabbed his attention, and he held his attention. He had nowhere to go. His whole world had been turned upside down, and he's utterly helpless. Okay, Brother Jim here has lived with his blindness all of his life, or most of his life. He's got workarounds. He knows how to use his cane. He knows how to use a typewriter. He knows how to use the computer. He can get along just fine. If you just threw me into this right now, I'd be so lost. I'd be lost. Paul was put in a place where he had nothing but God. Nothing but God. I can say I've almost been there once. I've been there. I don't know if I wasn't blind and I wasn't persecuting people, but I've reached out where I felt at different times in my life where the church is goofy, people don't act right. Who am I going to turn to? Who am I going to talk to? What am I going to do? I'm not going to give up on God, but these people are wacko. I'm not going to do anything for them or with them. And so you have only God. And I got to tell you, it's a scary place, but it's a place where you learn to connect with God. God was willing to do that for the Apostle Paul in a spectacular way, not only just a little bit, but in a huge way. It says that he saw no man, but they were led by the hand. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And there, he was there 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat, nor did he drink. What do you suppose Paul was doing? Any guesses? Praying and fasting. He was reaching out to God with just the little bit that he had. He spent his whole devotion time, his whole being time, was to spend that in the presence of God. Isn't it sad that it takes something awful to put us into that mode? I hope and pray that we don't have to do that, but God is willing to do that. If that's what it takes to get us to pay attention and to listen, God is willing to do that for you. And it's not because he's mean, it's because he's merciful. He puts us in places, John, where you got nothing. You're hungry and you got 6 hours of work in front of you. And John just told me here a little bit ago that literally he could open his wallet and spider webs would have fallen out. Wondering, okay, well, I got to make the sales presentation. And the lady offered him, hey, would you like some homemade burritos my wife made here today? Yes, I would. God provides. God provided us with helium, and in the face of a national helium shortage, it was literally impossible. I was kind of laughing at Cherry when she said, oh yeah, well, Todd's going to go get some tomorrow. I laughed at it. In my heart, I'm going, ha, ha, ha. No, you're not. Don't even think that you're going to. Next day, she says, well, how much do you want? I'm like, what? God loves the impossible because that's where we start to listen. That's where we think that, well, I did this or I did that. No, you didn't do anything. And it's in this moment where he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor he drink. For the first time in his life, 100% of his time, abilities, and devotions were put 100% on God. And this was the beginning of a new life that he could never even have dreamed of. Imagine if you had told Paul at that point, okay, you're going to write 13 books of the Bible, you're going to go out and travel half the world, and you're going to be the most prolific writer of the entire New Testament age. He would have been like, no, I'm a Jew. I'm a Pharisee. I don't do that. When we commit ourselves to God like this, massive changes will happen in your life. You will grow. You will become better. You will walk with God. That's what he's asking for. That's really, really, really what he's asking for. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. So can you imagine? I mean, Vivian, what if he did say, Vivian? Would you say, here I am, Lord? I don't know. I hope we would. Honestly, I hope we would. So he had a message for Ananias. So Ananias was just going away. He was a believer in the way. He was kind of suspicious of all these Jewish people, but they were preaching the word of the gospel as they're told. And God stepped in. He had a message for him. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And though he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming, and I think I might have lost the verse there, and putting a hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answers, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil is he have done in the saints of Jerusalem. He's like, really? You want me to talk to this guy? That would be me. Yep, I swear. I'm like, are you really sure? Do you know what he does to people? Like, maybe Ananias was thinking, am I supposed to go to jail and start a prison ministry here? What's going on here? And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind and cause. Let's back up here. I'm not reading this well. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and how here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and all the children of Israel. Ananias must have thought, wow, what do you make of this? He is my chosen vessel. That's what Saul means, by the way, is the chosen. He is my chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Most unlikely of people, this guy who was a persecutor. In fact, just the day before, or maybe 2 days before, he was actually doing that, persecuting people, putting them in jail, putting them in chains and taking them down there. And God's telling these guys something entirely different. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I hope and pray that our goal here in this life is to receive our sight and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean dancing around like fools and putting our hands in the air. And I don't mean, if you put your hands in your air, I don't care. Do it. Whatever. But but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have the God of the universe living within you, and to have your sight is the goal of every Christian, I do believe. And we only get that by spending time directly with God. We only get that by putting God first and allowing him to put us in that place where we need him. We need him beyond measure. And when you come out of that experience, you come out changed. You come out better. You come out a person that God can work with. And it says, verse 18, and there immediately fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, shingles, checkers, I don't know what you want to call it, fell from his eyes. And he received his sight, and forthwith arose and was baptized. It says that when he had received meat, that's food, he was strengthened, that Saul was certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. He spent times with the disciples there, learning. He spent time listening. He spent time how to work out. Paul wasn't the kind of person that just to let grass grow underneath of his feet. He wasn't the kind of person who was lazy or slothful. And so wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he darn sure was going to be out there working for somebody somehow, somewhere. And so the day he got the Holy Spirit, the day the scales fell from his eyes, was the beginning of his ministry. Serving God. Figure out, how do I do this? How do I put this zeal, the same zeal that we're I'm going to put people in jail and physically carry them, drug in chains all the way to Jerusalem. That same energy was then now poured forward into the ministry of the gospel. God knew what he was doing. God knew, saw this person and said, wow, wait till they see this. God specializes in that. God specializes in the wait until they see this kind of moments for us humans. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that is, that he is the Son of God. The people who heard this, I'm sure, were dumbfounded. Like, here you put the person who was persecuted and putting him in chains is now standing in the pulpit preaching Christ. Just the whole spectacle, just the spectacle of it would be enough for people to shut up and listen for a little bit. The Jews whom he was preaching to were sitting there in stunned silence watching this going on, saying, what am I seeing here? My eyes aren't working. Who is this guy? Is he a pastor? But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyeth them which called his name in Jerusalem and come hither that with for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased more in the strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he is the very Christ. And other after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Okay, after a while, the spectacle wears off. After a while, okay, I'm done with being this amused here. The same zeal that Paul was having trying to kill these Christians off, it's like, well, he is our brother, he is one of ours, but you know, he's turned with the dark side, so we're going to have to kill him too. This man, this most unlikely of people, was met by Jesus on the road. The bright light showed around him. He was blinded in that moment. And in that moment, he reached out to God. And all that mist, all that zeal, all that energy that he used to destroy Christianity was now turned for God's purposes. God is making things happen for you. Even when you don't see it, even when you can't feel it, even when it's not evident, God is working on your prayers. Now, I'm here to tell you, God had been working on this, on the Apostle Paul, long before Damascus Road came along. What God was doing, God took this person who was misguided, misdirected, but full of zeal, and he truly did love God. There was never a time where the Apostle Paul didn't love God, but there was a time when his missionary zeal was misdirected, going in the wrong thing. Okay? And it's the same for you and me. There's a whole story, there's a whole chain of events in your life that you know nothing of, or that maybe you know some pieces and parts of, but God is using that to direct the future. I'll show you this Bible verse here. This is what I found in my morning devotions. This is the chapter previous to that. It says, and so chapter 7 is when they stoned Stephen, the deacon Stephen. Stephen stood up with holy boldness to the Pharisees and told them how God was working through the different times with Moses and Abraham and all the way up through time of Jesus, and how they rejected Jesus, and then they turned around and they stoned him. And the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at that point, was holding the cloaks. He was holding the coats of the people. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, and the apostles. Right here, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad. Paul was being used by God as a person. Okay, he was a Pharisee who was trying to hurt God's people, but God knew his heart, and God was using the Apostle Paul to spread the gospel by creating persecution in the local Jerusalem, because the people were huddled together, they were banded together, they were holding on for what little bit that they could hold on to. And God says, you know what? That's not doing you guys any good. I need you in Damascus. I need you in India. I need you over here. I need you in Turkey. I need you in all these different Corinth. I need you everywhere. And the only way for God's people to get out and to go out and to do the work they had to do, God had to put this pressure cooker on them, but made them go out. And God was using the Apostle Paul as a person, as a Pharisee, as an evil Pharisee, even then, to bring the message to the world. God's timing is awesome, okay? I got to tell you, he's awesome. He knows what he's doing. He's fair, he's just, and he knows what he's doing. For we see, now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, for now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. There's a whole world of things happening around you. And although we can't see all the beginning from the end, we can't see but what we see in front of us right now, God is working, and he's working miracles on behalf of all of us. So if you've had a hard time, if you've had a hard go, there's all these problems that you've had to suffer through, God is preparing you for something wonderful. We can chalk it up. We can be angry and upset and have all these issues. But make no mistake, God is in the business of delivering his people. And even if you're misguided, even if you don't know what you're doing, even if you're out there doing the wrong thing, but if your heart is in the right place, God has a way of turning you to the right direction. And for every person, that's a little bit different. For Saul, God had to blind him. God had to show up with a bright light, come down personally, and blind him in order to get his attention. For you, I don't know what that is. It'll be different. I promise you, it'll be different. But you're going to have a testimony for God. And you're going to be able to share that testimony. And that testimony is yours because God worked in your life personally. And that is yours. That is not anybody else's. That belongs to you. Isn't that cool? God is giving you something that's yours. Your testimony is how God is working through your life, and that's God being personal with you. I'm in awe. I'm really in awe. And this is just a simple Bible story. Now think about all the other Bible stories and how all the other things that are there. Friends, open up your Bibles, read your Bibles, dig in, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Amazing things are on the agenda. We're on the brink of Jesus coming back very soon. This world has gone crazy. This is not the world my dad grew up in. It's not. And I don't see it getting better. But all these things work together for him that loved the Lord. God is preparing our earth for the final showdown so that Jesus can come again, so that we can see beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is fair, he's just, and he knows what he's doing. And the same God who blinded Paul is working in your life. He's working in your life to provide the miracles. Who knows? You might be the next person to write 13 books of the Bible. I don't know. I'm not saying you will, but I'm not saying you won't. You might be the next missionary to Antarctica. I don't know. I don't even know if we need that, but God has things lined up for us that we have no knowledge of. And when we see these things come to pass, we will be amazed. Don't cut him short. Spend time with him. Spend time in your morning devotions. I'm glad that my job got difficult because that drove me to God. All things work together for them that love the Lord. He's reaching out, and he's in the business of changing people's lives, taking you from where you were to where he wants you to be. And I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But on that day, we're going to look back at the journey and say, wow, God, that is so awesome. Let's pray. Let's have a quick prayer here. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate your word here, I pray that the apostles Paul's message would burn deeply into our souls and that we would see your fingerprints all over this and that we would pray, Father, that you would work your miracle in us. Prepare us for that great day. We're all in different places. We're all different conditions. But you are the great healer who works on our hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.